Hello, this is Ivana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. This week we're going to look at Ovadyahu, who appears in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yudchet. Now, some Midrashim identify him with a different Ovadyah, perhaps better well-known, you know, the Navi who has that single Perek prophecy in the middle of Treasar. It is not clear at all that these two men were actually the same person, but the Midrash claims that they are the same, at least some Midrashim do, and this identification seems to be largely because of the similarity of the name, and also the general Midrashic tendency to identify people who have similar names. We will be studying, however, Ovadyahu, as he appears in the story of Malachim Aleph. His story appears smack in the middle of the series of stories about Eliyahu. A parak earlier, we are introduced to Eliyahu Hanavi for the first time. At the beginning of parak Yud Zayin, Vayomer Eliyahu Hatishbi Mitoshavei Gilad El Achav. Right, Eliyahu says to Achav, this is the first time we are ever hearing about Eliyahu Hanavi, Chai Hashem Elohei Yisrael. He says in an oath, right, to Achav. Achav is the king of Yisrael at the time. Who we read in the preceding paragraphs introduced Avodah Zarah, idol worship, into Yisrael in a way that it had never been introduced before, largely under the influence of his wife Izebel, who was from a foreign kingdom, from Tsor. And not only do they worship idols, meaning worship God by way of idols, they mostly, under the influence of Izebel, introduced the worship of the Baal, who was a foreign god altogether. This was something new at the time in Israel, a new level of Avodah Zarah. And so Eliyahu makes an oath, Chai Hashem Elohei Yisrael, Asher Amadati Lefanav, Imi Yah Shanim Ha'ele, Tal Umatar Ki'im Lefi Devari. Right, he makes an oath that there will be no rain until he says so, and right, until further notice. And there's debate among the commentaries. Is this Eliyahu's idea? Right, is he making a bold statement here, kind of forcing the hand of God, and God apparently listens, that there will be a drought? Or is he merely repeating God's words? Based on the series of little stories that appear right after this, the former seems more likely, right? That Eliyahu somehow forces the hand of God here. He is the one who brings this drought upon Am Yisrael, and this causes great difficulty for the people, who are very quickly found in the middle of a terrible drought, which brings about great, great suffering. The question which kind of looms between the lines is whether the drought is justified, especially if it was brought about by Eliyahu himself. It certainly seems justified. The Midrash explains that the reason why he brought about a drought specifically is because we read in Kriyat Shema that if Am Yisrael worships idols, right, then there will be no rain in the proper time, etc., etc. And if they follow Hashem's way, then there will be rain. So how could it be, Eliyahu says in the Midrash, that idol worship is all over the place and the rain keeps falling, and therefore he felt he had to stop the rain. Let's now look at the story in Perek Yudchet where Ovadyah makes an appearance. Ovadyahu makes an appearance to see, you know, part of what Eliyahu's statement about bringing that brought about the lack of rain, see what it brought, and some of the results from it. Perek Yudchet pasuk aleph. Vayihi yamim rabim udevar Hashem haya el Eliyahu b'shana hashlishit lemor. Okay, so it is now the third year of this drought, to give you some sense of the situation. And he says, Hashem says to Eliyahu, Lech hira'e el Echav ve'etna matar al pnei adama. Go and make an appearance to Achav, and I will bring rain to the land. Vayelech Eliyahu lehira'ot el Echav, v'hara'av chazak v'shomron. So Eliyahu goes, and the ra'av, the famine is very, very strong in Shomron, right, the city where Achav lives. Vayikra Achav el Ovadyahu asher al habayit. Right, so Achav calls to Ovadyahu, who was responsible for his house, meaning he was a high-level servant in the house of Achav, and Achav calls to him, and he says to him, And then the story takes a break to tell us that Obadiah haya yireh et Hashem me'od. He was God fearing, this Obadiah, as his name seems to indicate, right? His name is very appropriate, right? Eved Hashem, Obadiah. Not only was he God-fearing, he was very God-fearing. Hayah yireh et Hashem me'od. Masechet Sanhedrin points out that this description is even greater than the description of Avraham Avinu's Yirat Hashem, right? Meaning that he had an extremely high level of fear of God. Vayhi b'achrit Izevel et Nevi'ei Hashem, vayikach Obadiah me'a Nevi'im vayachbi'em, 50 ish b'me'ara, v'chilkilam lechem v'mayim. And as a way of indicating just how God-fearing Obadiah was, right, the story tells us, as an aside, that when Izevel, the wife of the king, who was a bit more fiery than Ahav himself, in terms of her anti-God sentiments, meaning she was much more a strong proponent of Avodah Zarah than Ahav himself. Ahav, we don't have time to go into it in this podcast. Ahav is a very interesting character in terms of his ambivalence on this issue. But Izevel is very strong and very clear about her anti-Nevi'ei Hashem and anti-Hashem in general stance. And she wanted to have them all killed, all of the Nevi'ei Hashem. And Obadiahu, who, don't forget, is a high-level servant in the house of Ahav, nevertheless hides 100 Nevi'im, 100 prophets, and in caves, 50 Nevi'im in each cave, v'chikalem v'chamamayim, and provided them with food and water. Now, let's remember how outstanding this is, particularly because of, again, the situation in the country. There isn't much food and water, and yet Obadiahu puts himself in great danger, and he does this. Vayomer Achav el Obadiahu, lech ba'aretz, el kol ma'ayne ha'mayim ve'el kol ha'nechalim, ulay nimtza chatzir v'nechaye sus v'feret ve'lo nechrit meha'behima. He says to Obadiah, go and search out all of the springs, right, all of the various sources of water in the country. Maybe we'll find a little bit of green that we can give to our animals, to our horses, and our donkeys, so that maybe that they won't all die. In other words, that we won't be without any of our livestock. Right, again, this shows just how terrible the situation had gotten, that the king himself and his highest servant are going out to find any bit of green that they can give to their animals so that they won't all die on them. V'yechalku lahem et ha'aretz la'avor ba, Achav halach b'derech echad levado, v'Obadiah halach b'derech echad levado. Right, so they split up to cover more ground. V'yehi Obadiah b'derech v'hine Eliyahu likrato. And it so happened that when they were walking in separate places, Obadiah meets up with Eliyahu. Vayakireu vayipol al panav, vayomer ha'atah ze Adoni Eliyahu. He immediately recognizes him, and he falls down, bows down, and he says, is this you, my master Eliyahu, Adoni Eliyahu? Vayomer lo, ani. He says, yes, it is I. Lech emor le'adonecha hine Eliyahu. Go tell your master, here is Eliyahu. Eliyahu, in other words, Eliyahu was here to speak to him. Vayomer, right? Obadiah's response is almost startling. Vayomer, right? Startling because we see that Obadiah has great respect for Eliyahu. He bows down to him. He calls him my master. Vayomer, mechatati, what sin have I done to you? What sin have I done? Ki atano tenet avdecha biyadecha v'hamiteni, that you are giving me into the hand of Achav that he should kill me. Chai Hashem Elohecha, im yesh goy umamlacha esher lo shalach adoni sham mevakeshcha v'amru ayin. Do you realize, Eliyahu, that Achav has been searching for you everywhere? He has sent messengers to every place to see if you are there, and everybody said, nope, we haven't seen him. V'hishpiyat hamamlacha v'et ha'goy ki lo yimtza eka. And he made those other nations and those other kingdoms swear that they didn't know where you were. V'ata, and now you want me to go dancing up to Achav and say, oh, by the way, I found Eliyahu. Right, I'm going to leave you now, right, as you asked, to go to speak to Achav. Yisachar al asher lo eda, right? And God, the Spirit of God will move you off somewhere to I don't know where. Uvati lahagid la'achav v'lo yimtzacha v'haragani. Right? I'll go tell Achav that I found Eliyahu, and I'll come back, and you'll be gone, right? And he will kill me.
Obadiah continues, V'avdecha yare et Hashem l'mu'la. Why would you do this to me? I have been God-fearing since my youth, since I was a kid. Why would you do this to me, Eliyahu?
Hello, who God, la'adoni et Hashem asiti, v'harog izevel et nevi'ei Hashem. V'achbi menevi'ei Hashem me'a ish, chamishim ish b'me'ara, v'achalkem lechem u'mayim. Right? Behold, it was told La Adoni to my master. We'll get back to that word in a moment. It was told to my master, Abadiah says to Eliyahu, how when Izebel wanted to kill all of the Nevi'ei Hashem, I hid them, right, 100 of them in the cave, and I gave them bread and water. Ve'ata omer lechem or la Adonecha hine Eliyahu v'haragani. Right? You now tell me to go to say, oh, and here is Eliyahu, he will surely kill me. Right? Vayomer Eliyahu, Chai Hashem, Tzvaot, Asher Amadti Lefanav, Ki Hayom Era'e Alav. And at that point, Eliyahu says, I swear, I take an oath, that I will appear before Achav today, meaning I'm not going to disappear on you. You don't have to worry, Obadiyahu, you're not going to get killed. Right? But if you go back for a moment to Pasuk Yud Gimel, there's an interesting ambiguity here, which lends itself to two possible different explanations to what Obadiah was saying here. Right? Throughout these words, this exchange here between Eliyahu and Obadiah, two people are referred to as Obadiah's Adon. Eliyahu himself, right? When, like for example, when Obadiah first meets up with Eliyahu, he says, Ha'atah Adoni Eliyahu, is it you, my master Eliyahu? But they also refer to Achav as Obadiah's Adon, right? Because after all, he's his boss, right? And so when it says here in this pasuk, Halohu God la'Adoni et asher asiti, right? It was told to my master what I did with hiding the Nevi'im. It's not clear if Obadiah here is referring to Eliyahu or referring to Achav, right? So how would the pasuk be understood according to the two possibilities? One possibility is that he's talking to, he's referring to Eliyahu, right? After all, my master, you, Eliyahu, know what I've done in the past. That I've saved all of the Nevi'im, right? And provided water for them. And now you're going to tell me to go to say, here is Eliyahu, right? And he will kill me, right? In other words, you know what I've done in the past, and now you're going to send me off to get killed. The other possibility is that he's referring to his other master, to Achav, right? My master knows what I did when Izebel was trying to kill those Nevi'im. Maybe it was like the secret that wasn't such a secret, or maybe just a secret from Izebel, right? As I mentioned before, Achav was a little bit more ambivalent than his wife about what to do with the Nevi'im and all of that whole issue. So it's known to my master, Achav, right, what I did, that I saved all his Nevi'im and I provided for them. But now, but surely, if this happens now, that this one Navi, who he has been looking for very, very strongly, suddenly appears out of nowhere, and who should find him but Obadiahu, he will probably be less happy about my saving Navim in the past, and he will surely kill me. And so, Eliyahu, hearing Obadiah's words, says to Obadiah, basically, don't worry, I will make sure that I appear to Eliyahu, I'll appear to Achav, I'm not going to disappear on you again, nothing is going to happen to Obadiah. What is this tension between Obadiah, right, the servant of Hashem, and Eliyahu, right, Eliyahu, the one who declares with his whole existence the fact that Hashem is God, right? It would seem that these two would be on the same side when it comes to all things, but they're not. There is a certain tension between them, despite the fact that both of them are the strongest proponents of God in these stories. This becomes clear when you see the story of Avadyahu in the context of the two little stories that come before them. Right after Hashem, right after Eliyahu declares that there's going to be this drought, Hashem tells him to go to a place called Nachal Krit, which is near the Yarden, on the Yarden, and he says, this is in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Dalet, V'haya mehanachal tishtevet ha'arvim tziviti lechal kalech Hashem. Right, you'll drink from the Nachal, you drink from the river there, and the Orvim, the ravens, I have commanded to provide for you. V'yelech v'yas kedvar Hashem, v'yelech v'yeshev v'nachal kvit asher apnei Yarden, v'ha'arvim yivim lelechem v'vasar, v'boker v'lechem v'vasar v'arev, min ha'nachal yishteh. Right, he sent this place, and since he needs to eat and drink, the water is provided by the river, and the Orvim, according to many, at least, commentators, the Orvim literally means ravens here. Some people say that it refers to a certain nation. That the Orvim were commanded to bring him food. Right, a miracle, basically, is performed for Eliyahu here so that he'll be able to eat. Mefarshim quickly point out that the Orev is found in Tanakh in a couple of places as being known for the bird who has difficulty providing for its young. There are psukim which talk about who will provide for the orev, who will give food to the children of the orev when they call out, wanting to eat. Right, basically the implication being that it's Hashem who provides for the orev. So here these orvim, ironically, are the ones who are providing food for Eliyahu. At the end of the day, the water dries up, right? A direct result of what Eliyahu has done, and he is no longer able to stay there because he's no longer water to drink, right? But in terms of the Orvim, they are the ones who provide for Eliyahu here, right? The words again are Orvim Tziviti Lechal Kalecha Sham, Lechal Kalecha, to provide for you there, right? And so the Orvim, the ones who are the least likely to be the providers, or the least able to be the providers, are the ones who are dafka commanded here to give the food to Eliyahu. The next story, and this is like a more complicated story, which we're not going to have time to go here in depth, Eliyahu is then, well, we're going to look at a few small details, Eliyahu was told to go to a place called Tzarfat, which is not France, but it's a place, you know, up north, and what is today Lebanon, and it's a city in Sidon. And you should go there, and there is an isha almana, right? Hinei tziviti sham isha almana l'chal kalecha. I've commanded commanded might not mean literally commanded, it might be, or maybe yes, but in other words, I will cause an isha almana to provide for you. Now clearly here the isha almana is sort of parallel to the orvim in the previous story, right? There it says, and here, hinei tziviti sham isha almana l'chal kalecha. Right? The parallel, of course, being that an isha almana, a widow, right, who, if you read through the rest of the story, barely has enough food to provide for herself and for her son, right, the one who is least likely to be able to provide for Eliyahu, she is the one who is commanded to provide for Eliyahu, and in the end does. She says to Eliyahu, I don't have anything to eat for myself. We're going to die. We're going to make this last piece of, make this last bread, and then we will die because we will have nothing left to eat. But Eliyahu promises that the food will not run out, and that is what happens. Right, the miracle of the kara kemach and the tzatachat of shemen that never runs out. But here again, we have a situation where someone who is unable to provide is miraculously able to provide for Eliyahu. And the next little story, which is a continuation of the story with this widow and her son, the famous story where the son gets very sick and Eliyahu dies, and Eliyahu revives him. What's interesting is the complaint of the woman to Eliyahu when her son falls sick. Vatomer el Eliyahu, ma li v'lach isha Elohim, bata elai lehazkir et avoni ulhamit et bini. Right, what do we have between us, Eliyahu, that you should come here in my midst to remind, presumably God, of my sin, and to kill my son. Meaning there's something about Eliyahu coming to the home of this woman, she believes, that has brought death upon her son. There are many Mefarshim who try to understand what exactly is being referred to. Some say that because by comparison to Eliyahu, anybody is a sinner, right? That she would be considered a sinner because she's being compared to Eliyahu, who has come into her home, so and therefore is being punished. And there are other explanations as well, but in some way or another, Eliyahu is being blamed here. This coming on the back of her earlier complaint of how can I provide food for you, when Eliyahu asks for food, when I barely have enough food for myself, but how can you ask this of me? So in this story, Eliyahu is being seen as, if I may say, a little bit insensitive, right? The one who brings the hardship upon people who are already in a very difficult situation. And he's being blamed for it, right? And quite possibly as a result of the fact that, he brought hardship upon Am Yisrael in general with this drought. Hard to say exactly. But clearly he's one, there's a tension here, right? He's being blamed for this hardship that has come upon them. And he works his way out of it, but he kind of is forced to see this hardship that people at least believe was brought about by him. And then going back to the next story is the story with Obadiah, and this kind of rings true with Obadiah as well. First of all, the parallel continues. Not so much with Eliyahu himself. However, when we're introduced to Obadiah, right, he's the one who hides the Nevi'im, v'chilkelam lechem v'yayin, lechem v'mayim, right? He provides for them food, bread, and water, right? Those words, of course, echoing what the Almanah does for Eliyahu and what the Orvim do for Eliyahu, right? So once again, we have someone who perhaps is in the most difficult position to be able to help these Nevi'im, meaning being a servant in the house of Achav himself, and yet he's the one who does it. And when Eliyahu comes and tells Obadiah to, say to Achav, here I am, Obadiah once again says to Eliyahu something which reminds us of what we hear from the Almanah, why are you doing this to me? Why are you bringing death upon me? I have done nothing but good. Right? Why are you bringing this death upon me? Now, his story and the story of the Almanah are not exactly parallels. What he did and what she did, right? They're not exactly the same, but the ideas are the same, right? That in the case of here in the case of Eliyahu, a good person is having hardship brought upon him, when he's already in a very difficult situation, and this all seems to be caused by Eliyahu. What are all these stories coming on to say, right? And this is not my original idea. Many have said this before me, that Eliyahu had to be taught a lesson. Eliyahu is the zealot, right? He's the one who sees things as black and white. The people sin, and therefore the people must be punished. Much of Am Yisrael is worshipping Avodah Zarah, and therefore there has to be a drought. And these stories, slowly but surely, are meant to teach Eliyahu that that's not really the case. Meaning, of course, Hashem thinks that people should worship Him and not worship Avodah Zarah, but that together with the deen has to be a certain amount of rachamim, and that the way of Eliyahu is not necessarily the way that Hashem wants to deal with this situation. So first the Orvim, the unlikely providers, and then the Almanah, the unlikely provider, who begins to show Eliyahu the difficulty that he has caused Am Yisrael, and then Ovadiah, who is the quintessential Oved Hashem. There's nobody better than the Ovadiah, who was Yireh Elohim Me'od, to show Eliyahu that things aren't as simple as you think, right? Things are not as black and white. First of all, because you can't only deal with this purely with Deen, but also because there are good people mixed in with the bad people, right in the heart of the leaders who have brought Avodah Zarah to the country, is this Oved Hashem, this Oved Yahu, who is clearly not like that. And so the justice which you think you're bringing upon the people perhaps isn't so just. And this perhaps is why Eliyahu reassures him and says, "Don't worry, I'm going to appear to Achav today, and nothing is going to happen to you." And then the next story is the famous story of Eliyahu in Har Carmel, where he beats the Kohen Abal, in that big show where he shows that Hashem is truly the powerful God in the Koran, and the Baal really is nothing. And after that show, when he proves this to the people, at least temporarily, he's able to bring rain, and end the terrible drought. Did Eliyahu learn this lesson entirely, or did this lesson last with Eliyahu? It doesn't seem so. We don't have time to continue today, but you know, Eliyahu seems to remain the zealot. Right? That seems to be Eliyahu's role. Interestingly, the Midrash plays with this a lot. Right? Later on, Eliyahu becomes the one who he's still the ish of Deen. He's still bringing justice to people, but in that is mixed a lot of other interesting elements of witnessing the dedication of Am Yisrael to the Brit of Hashem, specifically helping out the poor while giving punishment to the evil, and so at least in the Midrash, Eliyahu does in some way come to a realization of what Ovadiyahu here is trying to teach him.